Well, it's good to be here with you this morning. I shared a few weeks ago with our students. I have the opportunity to teach out of God's Word with them every Wednesday night. And I shared with them a few weeks ago that I had a recent doctor's appointment. And it was just a normal doctor's appointment. It was really, to be honest with you, for a prescription refill. I take a couple of medicines that are, I guess, preventative type things. And I was kind of in a rush, to be honest with you. It was on a Wednesday, the appointment was. And Wednesdays are busy days for me. It's kind of a big night for our students. And I've got a list of things that I like to, kind of a routine that I do there on Wednesdays. And so I was kind of in a rush, and I get down to the doctor's office, and the nurse at the counter informs me that my doctor, there's several doctors that share an office, she informs me that my doctor is running an hour behind. And I said, what? And thanks, Orlin. And I said, an hour? Did you say an hour? And she said, yeah, an hour behind. And I said, okay. I said, so, well, I'm here now, right? So I just kind of hung out. And finally, they got me back there to the doctor's room, you know, where you feel like that's the light at the end of the tunnel, right? But you know it's not, right? Amen? And so I get back there, and I wait for another 15 or 20 minutes. And, you know, I'm at this point, I've kind of resigned to this is going to be a long visit, you know, but I'm thinking it, honestly, I was thinking, you know, maybe I can salvage this, right? You know what I mean? Like, let's get this done. You know, doc, check whatever boxes you need to check is kind of what I was thinking. Like, just check the boxes so that I can go because I've got things to do. And so she gets in there and she asked me this question. She said, Andy, how's your eating? In hindsight, I realize now that I answered incorrectly. Let me just tell you that. Because my response to her, kind of off the cuff, which I tend to sometimes be too off the cuff, I said to her, in response to her question, Andy, how's your eating? I responded with, I really like eating. Right? I mean, I'm just being honest with her. And she didn't understand that response, to be honest. I mean, she didn't really get it. And so her response to my response to her question, so her question was, how's your eating? My response off the cuff was, I really like eating. Her response was, and this is where I knew that things were, I was losing control of the conversation. Honestly, this is the moment. She said, has that been a problem? So I kind of hem-hauled around a little bit. I didn't know what to say. I was getting nervous, honestly, because I'm thinking I got to do something to get this thing back on track here because this is not going to be a quick visit. That's what I'm thinking, honestly, at this point. So I'm kind of shifting around in my seat, and I'm kind of nervous and trying to think how I had to kind of start to cover my tracks. Now, at this point, let me just pause and ask this question. I mean, we're all brothers and sisters in the Lord, so let's just be honest with one another and be honest with me and be honest with the Lord this morning. Let me ask this question. Now, please, let me say this. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if this describes you. Okay, if this describes you, I'm asking you to raise your hand. Don't wait to see who else around you is raising their hand. Okay, don't do that, because that's what I do in situations like this. I'm like, okay, like it's okay for me to raise my hand, you know. But I just want you to be honest without thinking. I mean, I want you to think about an answer, but then I just want you to be like, boom, that's me. Okay, just be honest with the Lord. Be honest with me. Be honest with your brothers and sisters that are around you this morning. How many of you have ever eaten because you're bored? Thank you. Thank you. That is what I'm saying. And I knew that was the truth. I knew that was the truth. And so back to my story. So I'm kind of getting nervous about my comment of I really like eating. Like that was a dumb answer. And so I say it and she's like, has that been a problem? And she's staring at me. And I admire her. She's very good at what she does. She really is, and she's kind of like just, she calls a spade, right? Like she just kind of says what she needs to say because it's important, right? Her health is important. And she looked at me, and she's waiting on a response. So she looks at me, she's like, has that been a problem? And I'm like, it was like third grade all over again, right? Like, I'm just like, you know, I don't even know what to say. And so at that moment, I say to her, as she looks at me waiting on an answer, I looked at her, and this is my effort to cover my tracks, church. This is my effort to get the conversation back on point. I respond with, you know, Doc, sometimes you just, you know, I eat when I'm bored. And I'm telling you the truth. It was like she looked at me like I had three heads. Like she had, honestly, like she had never heard that statement before in her life. And I'm thinking, I know you've heard this before. I know that you do this sometimes, Doc, is what I'm thinking. But I'm not saying that. Okay? So then the whole thing just continues to escalate. Like I'm losing more and more control of what's happening here. In my effort to get back in control of the conversation, I'm proceeding to lose more control of the conversation. Because I said, you know, Doc, I just sometimes eat when I'm bored. And she looks at me like I'm crazy, and she says this. She says, this is how quickly it escalates. She says, why are you bored? Are you not working? And I was like, I got a job, you know? Like, I felt like I had to defend, like, my employment, you know? Like, I know I'm not healthy, but I'm employed. Like, what is it? Are you attacking me? Like, I felt, you know, kind of like I was out of control. And so she, at that point, church, listen, this is what happens. I knew at that point the conversation was not going to be check, check, here's your prescriptions, you can go. Because at that point, I had dug myself into a pretty deep hole with my doctor. So she pulls me around to her computer. You ever been pulled around to the computer? She pulls me around to the computer and she starts to share with me my numbers. You ever had the number conversation with your doctor? She starts to share with me about numbers having to do with my cholesterol. And she's comparing tests from this year to this year. And she starts to talk to me about my cholesterol numbers and your good cholesterol and your bad cholesterol. And she starts to talk to me about my blood pressure and appropriate numbers and, you know, things of that nature. And she starts to talk to me about my heart. And she starts to use phrases like pre-diabetic and high blood pressure. And this is what you're going to need to do. And you're going to need to get some blood work. And you're going to need to keep an eye on this number and that number and so forth and so on. And the whole conversation really escalated quickly. And I realized at that point, I'm not getting out here anytime soon. So I sat and I listened, I engaged her, and I had this deep, meaningful conversation with my doctor about my health. And here's what I walked away with from that doctor's visit. I walked away really with two thoughts. One, don't ever make an off-the-cuff comment to my doctor again. Honestly. I thought, I'm going to go in next time. It's all business. I'm not going to try to be funny. I'm just going to go in and deal with it straight. But really, and more importantly, the second thing that I walked away with was that I need to fall in love with myself more. Now, that sounds like a weird idea because I like myself. I mean, probably like 75% of the time, we're on the same page. Honestly, like, not always, to be honest, but most of the time, I'm like, that's a good idea, Andy, and I'm like, thank you, you know, and like, we're tracking. Not always, but most of the time, we're on the same page. I like myself. I mean, I think I'm a nice guy, and, you know, I think I do nice things, and, you know, I try to take care of myself as much as I can, and I like myself, but this is what I walked away with, church. I walked away that I need to learn to love myself more than I do, and I need to really begin to see myself the way that God sees me. Amen? Does that make sense? I need to begin to see myself the way that God sees me. I mean, according to the scripture, I'm created in the image of God. Right? I'm created. Now, that's what it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. It says, God created mankind in his image. Right? So I need to begin to see myself the way that God sees me. And so I know that I'm created in the image of God. I know these things. And so I take this creation of God and I drive it in the ground. Right? I mean, I take this creation of God and I abuse it. I take this creation of God and I don't treat this creation of God the way that he would treat this creation of God. I take this creation of God and I don't take care of it and I fill it with all sorts of garbage and junk. And that's really what I walked away with from this exchange with my doctor. Andy, you need to begin to love yourself more. You need to begin to take care of yourself and see yourself the way that God sees you. See, church, it's really less about me falling in love more with myself. If we were going to kind of unpack this a little bit, it's less about me falling in love with myself and really about me falling more in love with God. I mean, that's really the crux of what we're talking about in this idea. You know, I want to grow in this area. I want to grow in the area of physical health. I do, honestly. I really do. I want to grow in that area. I want to grow in my love for that area. I want to grow in the things of learning how to eat right and learning how to exercise and take care of my body and really see myself the way that God sees me. Why do I want to do that? Why do I want to take care of God's creation? Why? Listen, because I love the Creator. I want to do those things not just for me, not for selfish reasons. I want to do those things because I love Him and He created me. Why would I take something that God created and not cherish it? I do those things because I love the Creator. And here's the problem, really, as you think about a lack of motivation. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, right? It comes down to a lack of motivation. We have these desires to do these things, but we have a lack of motivation. So you think about this. You know, we try to grow in this area or in that area or try to get better here, get better here, or in whatever. And we make it all about us. And listen, church, it's not about us. It's about God. I want to excel at work, we might say. You know, hey, I want to be a better employee. I want to have more influence in my company. I want to really climb up the corporate ladder. Why do I want to do those things? Do I want to do those things because I'm going to make more money? Do I want to do those things because I'm going to achieve more power? Listen, if that's our motivation, then we're sourced in the wrong thing. We're sourced in the wrong thing. Why do I want to excel in my company? Why do I want to climb the corporate ladder? The reason I want to climb the corporate ladder is because I want to have greater influence to be able to bring glory to God in that environment. That's why I want to climb the corporate ladder. I'm not concerned about making more money. I trust that the Lord's going to take care of me and the Lord's going to provide for me and my family. I want to do these things not for myself. I want to do these things because that's what God desires of me. The scripture says that we do everything we do as if we're working for the Lord. Amen? So that's why I'm called to excel at work. And we think about our education. Man, I deal with this all the time with our young people. Why do I want young people to excel in their academics? Of course I do. I have two children of my own. I want them to excel. I want them to achieve. But why do I want them to achieve? Why as parents do we want our children to excel academically? Some of you are like, scholarships, boom, that's all you're thinking about. And I get it. I understand that. But listen, we're communicating, church, the wrong lesson. If it's all about the money, really why we want our children to succeed in school is to bring glory to God. We want them to have a better education so that they can get a better job, so that they can influence more people, so that they can tell more people about the truth of the gospel. See, our lack of motivation is often because we're sourcing our reasoning for doing what we're doing in the wrong thing. The genesis of your motivation should not be you. It should be God. And we think about this same area when it comes to, you know, physical fitness. You know, I think about this. Why do I want to excel physically? Why do I want to get better? Why do I want to be more healthy? Why do I want to be more fit? Why do I want to eat better? It's not so that I can live longer or I can do this or that. It's so that I can bring glory to God and provide and take care of God's creation that He's given me. And we think about our spiritual health. Why do we want to have good spiritual health? Why do we want to do those things? I want to grow spiritually because I'm in love with the Creator. I mean, let's just live there for a minute. I just want to encourage you to just pause there. I mean, sometimes we get up here and we preach, right? We talk in and you guys are like, some of you are like sitting there staring at me and it's like, beep, 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 out the other ear. But just pause there for a minute. Why do you want to grow spiritually? Why do I want to grow spiritually? Let me tell you why I want to grow spiritually. I want to grow spiritually because I'm in love with the Creator. I'm in love with the Creator. I mean, think about spiritual growth for a minute. Paul nails this idea. He talks about it in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 12, Paul says this. He says, "Not that I have already reached the goal, or I am already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it, because I also have been taken hold of by Jesus Christ." He says, I make every effort to take hold of it, Brother Bill. Why? Because I've been taken hold of by Jesus Christ. I mean, Paul really gets this idea, right? I mean, he really understands what's happening here. What's Paul thinking about as he's writing this? Let me tell you what he's thinking about. He's thinking about his days as a man named Saul. He's thinking about a Damascus Road experience. He's thinking about that moment that Jesus Christ intervened in his life. And listen, he's thinking about the moment that Jesus Christ took hold of him. He's thinking about that moment specifically. He's remembering the moment, church, that God intervened in his life and sent him on a new direction and put him on a new course. He's recalling the moment that, as he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, the moment that Jesus took hold of him. And it's because of that that Paul, it's because of that, church, that Paul just, he just can't help but want to become as much like Jesus Christ as possible. I mean, let's think about that for a moment. Think about that moment in your life that Jesus Christ grabbed a hold of you. That moment in your life that his being, his existence intersected with yours, and it sent you off into a new direction. It sent you off into a new path. Think about that moment and think, that's the moment that Jesus Christ took a hold of me. And it's because of that moment that I can't help but want to take a hold of him. I mean, that's what Paul's thinking about in this moment. That's why he says, I make every effort. We were just talking about this morning with our students. And what does it mean to take every effort? I mean, does that describe us? Does that describe your spiritual journey, church? I'm asking that question. I want you to answer it. I really do. I want you to think about it, and I want you to answer that question this morning. Does it describe my spiritual journey that I would take every effort to become like Jesus Christ? Every effort. And I ask myself that question, do I? Does that describe me? Listen, I'll be honest with you and tell you that I pursue and chase after a lot of things. When I'm passionate about something, man, I'm like a dog on a bone, man. But does that describe my relationship with Jesus Christ? Is that how I pursue him? Because I want you to understand, church, this morning that there is no autopilot when it comes to being like Jesus. Can I say that again? I want you to hear this morning. There is no autopilot. There is no cruising. There is no coasting. And see, that's where we get to. Let me be honest. That's where we get to in our adult lives if we're not cautious. We categorize our pursuit of Jesus as coming to church. We categorize our pursuit of Jesus as sitting in service. We categorize our pursuit of Jesus as bowing our heads and blessing a quick meal before we rush out the door to our litany of other things. Listen, I want you to hear this morning, that that's not what it means to pursue every moment. That's not what it means to take hold of Jesus in every waking moment of your life. And that's what we do. We kind of just get on autopilot. We just kind of get on cruise control a little bit. And we start to just kind of float along. We're called to be on mission. You and I are called to be on mission 24/7. 7, actively pursuing who Jesus Christ wants us to be. I said this morning to our students. I said, listen, we don't actively pursue a relationship with Jesus. We don't actively pursue taking a hold of him every moment of every day. You know what we actively pursue? The location of our car keys. Amen? How many of you have ever lost a set of car keys? How many of you ever lost your cell phone just for a minute? How many of you felt completely helpless when you lost your cell phone? You just sat on the couch and you said, I don't know what to do. I've been there, man. You lose your cell phone and my wife's like, you going to work? I'm like, I don't even have pants on right now. I don't know. What's my next step, honestly, you know? Like, that's what you feel like when you don't have your cell phone. You're just like, what do I do? But listen, here's the interesting part. When we lose our cell phone, when we lose our keys, guess what we do? We actively pursue. You know? That's what we do. Nobody walks into a room. If you're really in a panic, right? You're really in a panic and you can't find your cell phone or your keys, here's what you don't do. You don't walk into a room and open the door and go, I don't see it in here. Right? That's not what you do. You flip the couch over. You're ripping couch cushions out and you're adjusting stuff on the counter, okay? You're moving mail and you're flipping stuff and you're picking kids up and looking under and you're looking at your littlest one and going, I know you know where it's at. You tell me where it's at. Where did you put it? You actively pursue when you lose your keys. You actively pursue when you lose your cell phone. Church, why is it in our relationship with Jesus Christ that we walk into the situation and we have this mentality? Well, I hope I grow spiritually today. Boy, it'd be great if I became more like Christ. Well, I gotta get to work. I mean, that's what we do. That's not actively pursuing a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are called to actively pursue a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ at every moment, in every way. William Barclay, the great biblical commentator, he makes this statement. I just think it's such a powerful statement. He says this, every man is grasped by Christ for some purpose. And therefore, every man should all his life press on that he may grasp that purpose for which Christ has grasped him. Boy, that's a powerful statement, church, and I want you to hear that this morning. I want you to hear that God is calling you and I to grasp the purpose for which he has called you. I mean, that was Paul's cry, right? He said, hey, I remember the moment that Jesus Christ grasped my life. I remember the moment that he got a hold of me, and I want to chase after whatever it is that he has for me. I am going to be relentless, and I am going to pursue it to the end of my days, every moment of every waking day. I am going to pursue the call that Christ has for my life. See, we become guilty of looking to a lot of other areas for the purpose of our life. We become guilty of looking to money, or we look to status, or we look to security, or we look to notoriety for some sort of purpose. We continue to reach for relationships that will only fall short in bringing us the true purpose for our lives, the true calling for our lives. We continue to look to politics for meaning and direction. Hope and purpose for our lives, church, isn't going to come through a man. It's not going to come through a woman. It's not going to come through a policy. Hope and purpose and direction for your life is only going to come through an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ, one that you pursue every day of your life. And what God is calling us to, church, I believe in this Philippians passage, is to pursue that thing, to actively pursue spiritual growth, not passively, but actively. Paul continues in verses 13 and 14. He says, brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken a hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. See, I love this because Paul just continues to reiterate over and over and over again that he is laser focused on becoming the man that God has called him to be. And that's the call he makes to us. He wants us to be laser focused in our pursuit of that one thing. He wants nothing more than to take hold of and stay connected to becoming like Jesus. And he says this, he says, let me be honest with you, I haven't gotten there. He says, I haven't achieved it. He said, I don't consider myself as one that's arrived. I know that I'm not perfect. I haven't done everything I need to do. But here's what I do, he said. Here's what I do. You want to know what I do? Paul says, okay, I'll tell you what I do. I forget what's behind me and I reach forward to what's ahead. I mean, this is in essence a prescription. Back to my doctor analogy. This is a prescription for what we're called to do. Here's what I believe. I believe the scripture can, for the most part, be divided into really two sections. It can be divided into sections of scripture that we would call prescriptions and sections that we would call principles. There are some things that the scripture simply doesn't address. Scripture never mentions the word football. I know. I was disappointed. I'm just kidding. It never mentions football. It doesn't mention part-time jobs. It doesn't mention card playing, right? You know, it doesn't mention the pursuit of stamp collecting, right? It doesn't mention all of these things. And so for it's at those moments that we as Christ followers, church, we step back and we go, well, this is kind of a gray area because the scripture doesn't really mention this topic. The scripture doesn't mention that topic. Well, here's the question we ask. At that moment, when we realize we're dealing with something that the scripture doesn't specifically mention, we step back as mature Christ followers, and this is what we do. We ask the question, are there some principles in scripture by which I can follow? Because the scripture doesn't address this specific topic. And so at that moment, we step back and we ask questions like, hey, is this spiritually profitable for me to do? If the answer is yes, then I could safely proceed. If the answer is no, even though the scripture doesn't specifically mention that topic, I step back and go, well, you know, I don't think this is spiritually profitable for me, so I'm not going to continue in that route. Is this decision I'm getting ready to make, is this pursuit, this endeavor I'm getting ready to tackle, will this slow me down spiritually? That's a principle that I can apply to that question or that topic. Is this something, here's another question that you could ask, is this something that is going to keep me in bondage? Is going to cause me to be addicted to it? Is it going to cause me to drag me down spiritually? You know, you understand what I'm driving at. There's some things that the scripture doesn't address, and so I step back and I ask some questions, and I get some principles for how to live my life. So there's that portion, but then there are some portions of scripture, church, that I would call prescriptions. It's like I said earlier, when you go to the doctor and you say, hey, doc, you know, my finger hurts. Well, they look at your finger and they write you a prescription to specifically address what it is that you're dealing with. You know, doc, I got a thing over here. I don't know. It's just a thing. It's a thing. What do you think? You know, you're right. You're showing the doctor and the doctor's like, oh, I've never seen that before. And they write you a prescription specifically for what's ailing you. That's what Paul's doing here. Let me be clear about that. Paul is not giving you a principle by which to live your life. I want you to hear that this morning. He's not giving you a general principle. Well, it might be a good idea if you did this. No, that's not what Paul says. Paul steps back and he says, let me write you, church, a prescription for what's happening here. And this is his prescription. He says, listen, if you want to take hold of Christ in every moment of every waking day that you have, if you want to do that, here's what you do, he says. Here's the prescription that I'm going to write you. He specifically says to us, if you want to do that, here's what you need to do. Forget what's behind you and reach forward to what lies ahead. I want you to hear this morning. The church, you will never progress in your spiritual journey with Jesus Christ as long as your gaze is wandering. You will never progress in your spiritual journey as long as your gaze is wandering, as long as you're kind of looking around, as long as you're allowing other things other than the ultimate call that Christ has for your life to capture your attention. If you're allowing other things to capture your attention, church, you will not proceed spiritually. We've got to be laser focused. I mean, think about it. That's Peter, right? Matthew chapter 14. Disciples are out on the boat. You remember this account. Disciples are out on the boat. It's the middle of the night. They see somebody coming. Is that Jesus? Jesus says, if it's me, it's me. Peter, the boldest of all the disciples, steps up and he says, Lord, if that's you. And I don't know what they were thinking at that moment. I don't think Peter was really thinking, to be honest with you. I don't think he anticipated the Lord's response. Because he says, Lord, if that's you, watch this, guys. Watch this, I'll get him. Call me out on the water. And Jesus is like, let's dance, big boy, come on out. And at that moment, you know, all the other disciples were like, you didn't see that coming, did you, Peter? Peter's like, okay, you know, and he kind of steps out. And listen, Peter, in his humanity, is doing what only the divine can do. Because of the divinity of Jesus, because of the power of Jesus, he is allowing humanity to walk on the water as he was walking on the water. It's a powerful passage, right? But what happens? Here's what happens. Listen to what he says. He says he took his eyes off of Jesus. He took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to look, the scripture says, at the high waves. What was Peter doing there? What was he doing? What he was doing, church, is he was allowing other things to capture his attention. He was allowing his circumstances to distract him. He began to, when he was looking here, he was singular in his focus. He was doing what only the divine could do. And at the moment that he looked to his left and he looked to his right, and you can imagine, I don't think his legs were dry, right? I never walked on water, but I would imagine that the water's still splashing up a little bit, right? I mean, we didn't get the idea that Jesus was like floating along. Like the scripture says that he was walking on water. So I would imagine that the hem of his garment was perhaps a little damp. Not because he was sinking, because the white waves were just... And so Peter, imagine that moment where Peter steps out and he's like, oh my gosh, guys, I'm doing it. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. And he's walking and then suddenly he feels that first drop of water. Now he's not sinking at this point, but he got distracted. He got distracted and he took his eyes off of Jesus. And the scripture says, of course, that he began to sink. See, I want you to understand this morning that you can't keep a foot in both camps. Does that make sense? You can't keep a foot in both camps. You can't both be wrapped up in your past and at the same time be reaching to what lies ahead. It doesn't work. And here's what some of you are doing. Let me be honest with you. Orland, come here for a minute. Here's what some of you are doing. Some of you are doing this. Some of you are allowing your past relationships. Come back here. You're my past relationships, Orland. You're representing past relationships. This is what some of you are doing. I like you. We're going to continue our relationship. It's great. I think you're a great friend. But I just want you to understand you're representing past relationships, okay? I didn't want to make you feel like I was, you know, negating our friendship. You understand what I'm driving out there? Okay, great. Okay, so your past relationships. So this is what some of us do. Some of us try to hang out back here with past relationships. We try to still maintain the relationships that we used to have before we knew Christ. And then others of you, come here, Orland, this is what we do. Others of us, we continue to want to go, listen to this, we want to go where we've always gone. Okay, so Orland's back here, and Orland, I'm maintaining these past relationships, and I'm trying to reach ahead, but I can't because at the same time, I'm trying to maintain this. And I can't because at the same time, I'm trying to go where I've always gone. Okay, right, he's pulling me back. Do you see what's driving there? Now, come here, Justin, come here. Come here for a minute. He said, please don't call me up. That's the first thing he said to me this morning. First thing he said to me. As soon as he saw me, I must have had a look on my face. Because he saw me, he was like, please don't. It's too late now. Come over here. So this is what we do. Some of us try to maintain these past relationships. We try to go where we've always gone. And here's the others. We try to talk like we've always talked. Well, Pastor, listen, that's just how people talk at work, you know? I mean, that's just kind of the shop talk.
Pastor, listen, I'm not being negative, but that's kind of what people do at work, right? You know, like they just gossip around the water cooler and, you know, everybody badmouths the boss, Pastor. You know, come on, you know what I'm saying. But do you understand what I'm driving at? We try to talk like we've always talked. Rob, come here for a minute. And then this is what else we do. We try to do business. Rob's all business. Look at him. He's all business today. Okay? Rob represents business because here's what we do. We try to do business. Go back there, Rob. We try to do business like we've always done business. Well, that's just the principles of business, Pastor. I mean, what do you want me to do? I can't glorify Christ in every way, at every opportunity. Listen, church, that's what Paul says. He says at every moment. I take an opportunity at every moment. I can't continue to do business like I've always done business. And Pastor DeJuan comes up here and he stands right here. And this is what else we do. We try to think like we've always thought. Right? That's what we do. We just try to think like we've always thought. Here's the problem, church. This is what we're dealing with. This relationship isn't going to work. I want you to hear that this morning. I mean, listen, some of you are like, well, I don't have a problem with talking, and I don't go to the same place all the time. You fill in the blanks. You fill in the blanks for what it is in your past that you keep trying to hold on to while at the same time reach forward. You fill in the blanks right now. But I want you to understand that whatever this represents for you, you can't continue to try to strain forward and reach forward and at the same time keep all of this maintained. It just can't happen. At some point, church, you have to put a stake in the ground and say, I am going from this point forward. I am going to cut off all of this stuff in my life. I'm not suggesting, and Paul makes this clear, church, that he's not perfect. But I'm going to start to dismiss some stuff in my life. I'm going to start to get rid of things. I'm going to stop doing business like I used to do business. I'm going to start to hang out with the people that I used to hang out with. I'm going to stop going to the places I used to go to. At some point, I've got to draw a line in the sand and say that I'm going to move forward in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I can't continue to make this happy and make him happy. And guess what? He wins. If there's tension there, he wins. There's only one throne of your heart. And Jesus Christ refuses to share it with anyone. Or anything. Paul says you got to forget about all of that. Some of you aren't doing that though. Some of you aren't trying to maintain all of these things in your life. You're really not. Some of you aren't trying to keep a foot in both camps. But some of you are allowing the waves of your past. Some of you are allowing the choppy waters. Some of you are giving permission to the choppy waters of your past. You're giving permission to those choppy waters to dictate your future. You're giving permission to what used to be to affect how you are now and to affect what I'm going to do from this point forward. Oh, Brother Storr, it's like they forgot, right? What'd they forget? They forgot about Jeremiah chapter 18, where Jesus says, I am the potter and you are the clay. They forgot about those lyrics to that old song that said, mold me and make me into what you want me to be today. Brother Bill, it's like they've forgotten about Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Isaiah 1:18, it says, though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Listen, church, Jesus Christ has the power to release you from the shame of your past. Some of you are wanting to slip up your hand and say, Pastor, you don't know about this, or you don't know about this. Listen, you're right, I don't, but guess who does? Jesus does. And he has the power to release you from the shame of your past. Listen, church, in the same way, I love this power of this imagery. I mean, listen, this is history, right? Like, this happened. The historicity of this is real. Jesus stepped to the edge of the boat in the middle of the night when the storm was raging, and he stuck out his hand and he calmed the raging seas. Do you understand that that happened? We serve a God who has the power over the elements. We serve a God who has power over creation. And listen, church, in the same way that Jesus stepped to the edge of the boat and calmed the raging seas, listen, he will step to the edge of your life and he will reach out his hand and he will calm the raging seas. What's always been in your life doesn't always have to be. And I wonder this morning if there aren't some here that would want to make a commitment, a fresh and a new commitment to say, you know what? I'm going to let go of the stuff in my past. I'm going to let go of the shame. I'm going to let go of the pride of my spiritual past. I'm going to cut off all the things in my life that are holding me back. And I'm going to make a commitment, a fresh and a new commitment. And you know who I think this is for? Boy, I tell you, church, if we're not careful, we sit in our seats and we start to make a mental list of who this message is for. Amen? Well, it's not for me. I know the Lord. Well, it's not for me. I've gone to church here for 30 years. It's not for me. I serve on the elder board. It's not for me. I help lead worship with Brother DeJuan. It's not me. But here's who I think this is for this morning. Listen, it's for all of us. Can we just drop the walls for a minute? Can we drop the spiritual mask that we put on when we walk through these doors? And we shake our heads and we're like, oh, I don't do that. Yeah, you do. Because I do it. We all do it sometimes. We come into these doors and we sit here and we listen to the pastor's message and we think, yeah, you know, I can't possibly respond because it would look as though if I respond at this moment to this message, it would look as though I'm having some real spiritual struggles. And I can't allow anyone to see that I'm having real spiritual struggles. Guess what? Everybody has real spiritual struggles. So can we just be honest this morning? Can we just be honest this morning and ask ourselves that question, is this for you? I don't care how old you are. I don't care where you serve or how long you've been attending the church. Listen, brothers and sisters, if this is you, if you've got some stuff in your past that you're wrapped up in, if you're trying to maintain that and still reach ahead, I invite you here this morning. As the worship team comes back up, I invite you here this morning to come to the altar and to say, Lord, I'm sorry. God, forgive me for trying to please them and please you. If that's you this morning, I just invite you to come. I invite you to come, even now as my brother's coming, I invite you to come. I invite you to stand to your feet and say, you know what? I'm not going to continue to do that. I'm going to be singular in my focus. God, it's about you and you only. Stand with me as we pray. Father God, I give you thanks for this day. God, I give you thanks for this opportunity we have had to gather here in your house. God, I pray that as we go before your altar, Holy Spirit, that you would speak very clearly to each one of us. God, I pray for revival in this place. I pray for a Holy Spirit outpouring in this sanctuary this morning. God, have your will and your way in our lives. Forgive us, Lord, when we try to maintain the past and reach forward to what you have for us. Holy Spirit, speak very clearly to our hearts. In your name we pray.